Welcome to a special broadcast on Faith Radio. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, a group of talented artists and musicians produced a national radio show live each Sunday evening from Maranatha Hall on the campus of Northwestern College in St. Paul. The host was Richard K. Allison. We decided to resurrect a few of those old shows for the summer here on Faith Radio, and tonight is the initial installment of our summer Sunday night series. Stay tuned for music from Greg Buchanan and Louis Palermo and a special visit from the little girl called Honey. From May of 1992, here's Sunday Night.
Oh, wow. This sure is Maranatha Hall.
That's right, honey. This is heaven.
Oh, great. Oh, no. You mean I'm...
That's right.
But how did I...
Remember your mommy? That's the one. Remember how she warned you not to solo rappel off your next-door neighbor's garage without proper headgear?
Yeah, I remember. I thought she was just being overly cautious and that overbearing maternal fashion of which she was so fond. Do you mean I actually...
took a header into Mr. T. Winkle's wheelbarrow. You never knew what hit you.
Tell me, mister, am I gonna like it here?
Absolutely guaranteed, or your mummy back.
My mummy.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's just a little heavenly humor.
I want my mommy.
Oh, no, wait. You're gonna love it here, I promise you. Heaven has everything you could possibly want.
Does it have a Pizza Hut?
With an eternity supply of Canadian bacon and pineapple.
Well, that's good. Does it have a Cosby show?
Yes, Cliff and Claire get saved at a Billy Graham crusade.
Well, that's good. Does it have a CNN headline news?
Let's just say they've decided to put Ted Turner on another network.
Well, that's good. But, tell me, mister, do they have Sunday night in heaven?
Honey, what would heaven be without Sunday night? Hey, you on the harp.
Yeah? What can I do for you?
Show the little lady here what kind of radio signal we get up here.
Sure thing.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
That's right.
If heaven's not my home, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door.
And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Take it away, Craig.
Don't that get your heart pumping, huh? This is Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison, and you are in the right place for an enjoyable evening of music mayhem and some meaningful stuff, too. All the Sunday Night regularos are on hand. Jeff S. Miller and his refreshment committee, Mike and the New American Standard Band, and special guests. Mamma mia, we got a Louis Palermo, that Italian bulldozer from Minneapolis, and we got Greg Buchanan, harpist extraordinaire. So tune up, hold your cannolis over the table, and get ready for something different.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Anymore.
Yeah! Well, thank you. And welcome to another exciting, thrill-packed episode of Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison, and tonight we are coming to you as usual, but not always.
from Maranatha Hall on the campus of Northwestern College in St. Paul, Minnesota. We have been known to hit the road from time to time, but tonight we are in our home environs and glad to be so. It is such a beautiful spring evening, and we hope some of that warmth will come across the airwaves to you. We have a special show planned for you this evening. Our guests this evening are a couple of folks that you are going to enjoy. Louis Palermo, half of the Palermo brothers that traveled the country and the world for so many years, bringing their gospel of cheer to so many. Louis is with us. He lives here in Minneapolis now, and we're delighted to welcome him to Sunday night. And a welcome back to a special guest we had a couple years ago, Greg Buchanan, an absolute, what would you call it? He's not an illusionist, and we don't want to say magician, but he's dynamite on the harp. You're just going to love him. Plays a harp like nobody's business. So stay tuned. It's going to be an exciting time. Tonight we are sort of designating our program as Dream Night. Okay, we're talking about dreams and about goals and things we dreamed about when we were kids and dreams that we have of accomplishing great things. One of the all-time great dreamers in literature, in world literature, was Don Quixote. And let's see, it was some Spanish guy wrote that, didn't it?
Cervantes.
Cervantes, yeah. I can never remember his name. See, Jeff is bilingual. You probably didn't know that. He helps me out with the Spanish stuff. And then some American guy, Wasserman, was that his last name? Did a musical based on Don Quixote called Man of La Mancha. And we thought it would be kind of fun, as long as this is dream evening, celebrating dreams and goals and wanting to do great things. Don Quixote de la Mancha was one of those guys. So we're going to do this song from Man of La Mancha. And just so that you are not confused as to who is whom on this, I will be doing the role of Don Quixote. And Jeff, your role is?
Sancho Panza.
All right.
Si.
With Michael Pierce Donnelly at the piano. Hear me now, O thou bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. And a knight with his banners all bravely unfurled now hurls down his gauntlet to thee. I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild winds of fortune will carry me onward, oh, whithersoever they blow. Whithersoever they blow. Onward to glory I go.
I'm Sancho, yes, I'm Sancho. I follow my master till the end. I'll tell all the world proudly that I'm his squire, I'm his friend.
Hear me, heathens and wizards and serpents of sin. All your dastardly doings are past. For a holy endeavor is now to begin, and virtue shall triumph at last. I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. The wild winds of fortune will carry me onward, for whithersoever they blow,
I'm his friend.
Whithersoever they blow, onward to glory we go. Thank you, Jeff Miller. Louis Palermo.
Hey, what's the matter, you? That sounds almost like Italian.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Mamma mia.
It did. You know, I think that's where the Spanish came from. They wanted to do their own thing, but the Italians did it better than anybody else had, so they just copied it.
That's because we eat spaghetti.
Yes. And there could be no greater expert on the subject of spaghetti than Louis Palermo. I have sampled your spaghetti on many occasions. One of the highlights of my life. Well, along with my wedding day and, you know.
You better.
Yeah. Louis Palermo. Phil is where these days?
Oh, he's in California. When we retired, he moved to California to live near his daughters.
Oh, I see.
See, he and his wife, they're busy in nursing homes, too, and playing. As my wife and I, we go in nursing homes. Only I go in hospitals, mostly.
Yeah, well, you know, I've seen you in the hospital. I've been in the hospital a couple of times. In fact, there's probably people in our audience, even in our listening audience, whom you have visited in hospitals around the area here. Now, you are how old now?
I'm 77.
You're supposed to be retired now, Louis. Yeah, I thought you retired.
Oh, that was when I was 65, I retired.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And you know what, Rich, since I had my three and a half years ago, since I had the six bypass at one time, I still walk 2 miles every morning before I go to the hospitals and play.
And then you must walk a couple of miles there in the hospital playing your mandolin and bringing tricks and treats and goodies to kids.
Oh, so much fun.
It's wonderful what you do. Well, tell us one of the interesting folks that you've
been
seeing
playing
lately.
For this John Thompson. You remember North Memorial? I played for him 3 weeks ago before he left.
Oh, now this was the young man, the teenager who had his arms taken off by the machinery.
You know what? This afternoon he graduated high school. Boy, let's give him a hand.
How about that?
That's it. And then now I found another boy, 6 years old, from Chautauqua, Wisconsin. He's only in Ramsey Hospital. He got his arm cut off, too. So I go over there and play for him, too, and cheer him up a little bit.
Wonderful. Well, I know you not only cheered me up. I mean, this guy is a performer. He came to my room and stood by my... I mean, a half an hour he must have been there. I mean, I wore out before he did. It was wonderful, but your music and your wonderful good humor and your great sound effects, and you're just such a delight. What keeps you going at 77 years old to keep doing this kind of thing, Louis? Well, you could be basking in Sicily someplace, couldn't you?
The Lord did so much for me, and all the talents that he gave me, I give it back to him. And I hope you do that the same, too. God has given every one of us some talent. Use it for his glory, and I'm doing that. I'm having a grand time.
And it shows all over your face.
So, Rich, when I go up and down the halls and I start playing like something. Those patients, they sit and they listen. They hear the music.
Yeah.
Where's it coming from? They watch their TV. Then I watch them turn their dials, try and get my channel. And they see me. I said, it's alive. I said, in living color.
Oh.
And it's just wonderful. There was a little girl yesterday in North Memorial Hospital in the children's floor, in the second floor.
Oh,
I like to go up to the little kids. And this little girl, she has kidney trouble, and she wouldn't eat. All day, the mother says, we can't get her to drink milk. So I did a few of my tricks. I said, you want to hear my little kitty? She said, uh-huh. And I do the dog and the pig and the cow, too. You know, I did all those tricks for that little girl. And then I said, Amy, her name was Amy. I said, Amy, I'll bet I could drink my milk before you drink yours. Well, she got mad at me.
Oh.
So the mother filled the glass with a half a glass of milk. She had the straw in there. So she was going, and I was going, on an empty thing, I was going like, and she beat me with all the,
did she?
Oh, it's so terrific. Last night, the mother called me, said, you know what? She ate all her supper last night. Thank you for talking to her.
Wonderful.
That's the ministry I have. Pray for me that the Lord will continue to use our ministry out there.
That's wonderful, Louis.
We're glad to be here with you.
And we're so delighted to have you sharing this time with us. You have a song you're going to play on this beautiful Italian, what did you call it, a banjo mandolin?
That's a banjo mandolin. It comes all the way from Italy.
How about that? And Scott Melchow is going to join you. What are you going to play?
Whispering Hope. I'm going to have Scott. You better join me, okay?
All right. Louis Palermo with Scott Melchow, Whispering Hope. Thank you, Louis. So we, in celebration of Dream Evening here on Sunday night, we asked our audience to answer a question. What were some of your dreams as children? What did you want to grow up to be? And had some interesting responses. Share a few of them with you. Here's one. I imagine this is from a young woman. Her first choice was the first lady on the moon. And she said, the position is still open. It's possible. Her second choice was to be John Glenn. First choice, I want to be a first grade teacher. This looks like a girl, just still school age. I thought this was nice. I dream of being like my mom and dad. That's great. First choice, a famous radio personality. And if that doesn't work out, her second choice was Richard K. Allison. And that wasn't a her, that was a him. Okay. Thank you, Brent. First choice, Superman. Second choice, Superman. He's got a real focus there. I used to want to be a rutabaga. But now I want to be an accordion. Probably inspired by Louis Palermo tonight. Boy, I tell you, you never know. Here's, a couple of our groups snuck some in here. Kevin Remdy, one of the refreshment committee here. When I was growing up, I wanted to sing on a nationally broadcast radio program. Lucky me. Here he is. And then, you'll never figure out who this is from. When I was growing up in Texas, there was a Catholic school down the street from my house, and I'd watch the nuns from a distance. I wanted to be a nun or a godmother because I thought they were the closest women to God on earth, and I thought kneeling was cool. We didn't do that in the Baptist church. That's from Carol Holly. Oh, P.S. My second choice is Connie Francis. That's a good balance there. Now to sort of carry on with this theme, we have a little surprise this evening for our music director, Mike Donnelly. Mike Donnelly. Mike, are you over there?
Yeah, here I am.
Yes, we did an informal poll of the cast and crew of Sunday night, Mike. An informal poll. We all, sort of wore jeans and stuff. Now, and we asked them, what is your dream? If you could be anyone else on the Sunday night show, who would it be? Mike Donnelly, the vote was unanimous. And we want to let you know the results of this poll in our own lovable way. Band, hit it.
like Mike. If I could be like Mike. If I could be like Mike,
oh, yeah.
Be like Mike, if I could be like Mike.
Oh. Now some like Bach, and some Springsteen,
and countless other artists in between.
But in between.
But to do it all, the one to call
is Mike. I want to be like Mike.
My turn now. Well, I've been me since I was wee, but it's not all that it's cracked up to be. I've one regret.
What's that?
That I'm not yet like Dino. I wish I could play like Dino.
He wants to play like Dino.
Like Dino. I
he
wish I could play like Dino. Dino.
Oh,
play
yeah.
Like Dino. Like Dino. I want to play like Dino.
Here, I'll show you. Here we go. I just can't do it, see?
Oh, my. Mike, we wouldn't want you any other way. You got the New American Standard Band.
Sure do.
Ready to go to town here.
You know, we've got two guest performers with us tonight.
Introduce us.
Kevin Mills is on drums tonight. And Kenny Holman on the woodwinds, along with Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Along with Scott Malchow on the bass.
Our regular guy, Scott.
Yes.
Our stalwart. And what are you and the guys going to play for us this evening?
A little version of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Sounds great. Take it away.
One, two, three.
Thank you.
Wonderful, Mike. Michael Pierce-Donnelly and the New American Standard Band. So we're delighted to welcome back to our Sunday night microphones a young man who was with us a couple of years ago. You were younger then than you are now.
Very much so.
Yeah. A couple years ago you were with us. You have been busy since then, Greg Buchanan?
Yes, we have a new baby girl.
You have a new baby girl.
Yes, we have two boys, but now we got a girl.
Well, that's wonderful. You finally got it right.
Yeah, the third time's a charm, Richard.
Oh, well, that's terrific. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We enjoyed having you with us 2 years ago. In fact, it was exactly 2 years ago right now, and I've been so looking forward to your being back.
Bless you, brother.
What are you going to do for us to start things off?
I'm
going to
do a song here tonight that really has the feel of the joy of the Lord. I mean, that, we've been feeling that a lot tonight already, but
yes.
This one's called "The Trees of the Field Will Clap Their Hands."
Greg Buchanan and his harp. Greg Buchanan. He'll be back. Thank you, Greg. See, there's lots more to come on Sunday night. Stay with us.
You're listening to Sunday Night on the Skylight Satellite Network. Thank you. Welcome back to Dream Evening on Sunday Night. I'm your host, Richard K. Allison. Greg Buchanan will be back in a bit, but first, a very special story from our friend Jeffrey S. Miller.
We were broke that summer, good and broke. I had worked up enough courage to quit the magazine and try freelancing, but I underestimated the length of time it takes to get started. We kept the show on the road by selling a few things, household items, at the outdoor auction on the edge of town, but finally it got to the point where Pam decided to take the children to visit their grandmother for a while. We hadn't quarreled or anything. It was just a question of debts and of paying for the groceries. She left early one morning, and I think that was the longest day of my life. I tried to work, but it was no good. The house was too quiet and empty. The sun went down, and the twilight was gray with loneliness. When it was fully dark, I decided to take a walk down to the auction and sell a suitcase I had. Pam had a birthday coming up, and I wanted to buy her a present. Wasn't much of a place, really, just a big shed full of junk and a tent with folding chairs where people came to bid for things. The owner was a hard-bitten little gnome named Willie Madden, who looked at the world suspiciously from under a green eyeshade and from behind a dead cigar. He and Pam had gotten pretty chummy over our previous transactions, but I didn't like him much. I arranged to have the suitcase auctioned. Then, since there was an hour to kill, I prowled around looking at the old furniture and chipped china and musty books. And finally, near the back of the shed, I noticed a young couple standing close together and whispering about something. They were not a particularly striking pair, but there was something nice and close about them. They were inspecting a second-hand baby carriage, and it was obvious that before long they were going to need one. "Well, go and ask him," the girl said loud enough for me to hear. "You can ask, can't you?" The boy nodded and went away. While he was gone, the girl stood looking down at the carriage. In its prime, it had been quite a fancy affair, and it was still in good condition. I saw her re-examine the price tag as if she had hoped somehow her first impression of what it read had been wrong. Her husband came back presently with Willie Madden. "That's right, $25. An absolute steal at that price, too. It's worth 50. The girl asked a question. "Well, bring it in, said Willie impatiently. "Bring in anything you want to get rid of. But you better hurry. I got to be up on that platform in just 45 minutes. The youngsters hurried away, but in 20 minutes they were back. I watched them put down the things they were carrying, a fishing rod, a couple of dresses, an alarm clock, and a few other odds and ends, including something that looked like a music box. It didn't look like $25 worth of auctionable stuff to me, and I knew it didn't to Willie. He poked at the music box with one skeptical finger. "This thing work?" "It plays one tune," the girl said. "It's supposed to play three, but it plays one." Willie's cigar revolved slowly. "I paid $22 for that carriage. Here it is, right in the book.
If you can get that much for this stuff of yours, you can have it. But I'll tell you right now, I don't think you'll get that much. So don't say I didn't warn you. Go on now, wait in the tent. I got things to do. They went. I followed them. I sat where I could watch their faces. They held hands and waited. Somebody got a good buy on my suitcase, went for $14, and it was worth $4.40. The youngsters' things were at the end of the list. It was late when Willie got around to them. The fishing rod brought $3, the dresses $2 each, the alarm clock $0.50. It was hopeless, absolutely hopeless. I tried not to look at them. Willie picked up the music box. Now this here is a genuine antique. What's more, it really plays. Listen. The box gave a faint sound. The song was Stephen Foster's Beautiful Dreamer, the most haunting of all American folk songs, maybe of folk songs anywhere. Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrop are waiting for thee. The tent was very still. The music went on, thin and clear and sweet, and somehow everything was in it. All the loneliness and the heartache and the things all of us want to say and never find the words. I looked at the young couple and something in their faces made my throat feel tight. The music stopped. Well, what am I bid? $10? Anyone bid $10? Silence again. I thought of the $14 I would be getting from my suitcase. I thought about Pam and her birthday too. Anybody bid $5? Willie sounded impatient. Anybody bid $5 for this genuine antique? I took a deep breath, opened my mouth, and then miserably closed it again. $5, said a voice behind me. I looked around. It was a thin, shabby man with a carefully waxed mustache. I had seen him at auctions before, but I had never heard him bid on anything. Even Willie seemed rather surprised. $5 my bid. Who'll make it $10? $10. Who'll make it $8? $8. It was a little bird-like woman on the far side of the tent. Every eye in the place swung back to the shabby man. He did not even hesitate. $10! $12! Cried his rival. She looked as if she didn't have 12 cents. $12, I'm bid, said Willie. Do I hear 15? There was a hush that seemed to go on forever. $15 would do it for him, plus the money from the other things. The girl was holding her husband's hand so tightly that I saw him wince. The shabby man stood up slowly. $15, he said with grand finality. That did it. The music box was sold to the gentleman with the mustache. For a moment, the grim thought occurred to me that the gentleman might not have $15, but no, he produced the money, gave it to Willie's assistant, took the box. When the tent was empty, I went back to the shed. The baby carriage, I was glad to note, was gone. I collected my suitcase money and decided to treat myself to a cup of coffee. The truth was, I didn't want to go back to my empty house. I went into the diner across the street and stopped just inside the door. The little bird-like lady and her rival with the mustache were sitting there, side by side on a couple of stools. I understood the whole thing right then. I left them there and went back to the shed where Willie was at his desk. I guess he wore that eye shade to make himself look tough. "Where's the box?" I asked. He stared me right in the eye. "What box?" "Come on, Willie, I know you did it. Where is it?" "In the cupboard. Why?" "I want you to hold it for me. I'll give you $20 for it when I have the money." Willie leaned back in his chair. "Now, just what would you do with that box?" "I'd give it to Pam for her birthday." Willie shook his head. "Are you crazy? It's not worth $5, let alone 20. It only plays one tune. It's supposed to play 3. "I love the tune it plays. There's a lot of love in it." "Love?" said Willie. He got up slowly and came around the desk. "Why don't you get a job and do some work for a change? Why don't you quit this fool way of living?" I just laughed out loud. I felt happy and warm and good inside. I knew that sooner or later, everything would be all right. Willie opened the cupboard. "Here, give it to Pam on her birthday. From me." I hesitated for a second and then I took it. There are some times when it's selfish to refuse a gift. "Thanks." "Well, go on home. Can't stand around here all night talking." So I went home. The house was still, dark and empty. But I put the box on the table by our bed. I put it there, and I let it play. And I wasn't lonesome anymore.
Thank you, Jeff. Greg, we're going to hear from you one more time. We think you did such a nice job on that last song, we thought we might give you another crack at it, you know? Are you ready for one?
I think I'm ready.
Actually, for our radio folks, Greg was leaving the stage. He thought he was done for the evening. Yeah, he was heading for dinner. Yeah. See, now you are living in Kansas City, Missouri with your wife and your three children. You have not always been from Kansas City, Missouri.
No, I grew up in Los Angeles, California, actually.
Okay. And you have not always been traveling around playing the harp for Jesus either.
Oh, no.
Tell us a little about your story, would you?
Well, what happened to me was I grew up in a home where I suppose I had all the opportunities that a regular middle class kid would have. Started playing the harp when I was 9 years old. My older sister was a harpist, and that's how I got into playing the harp. But I was a hyperactive young child. probably never guess I'd be a hyperactive child. And one of the ways I dealt with my hyperactivity, I became a compulsive overeater and put on a significant amount of weight and felt sort of bad about myself. But I poured my heart out onto the harp, and that was a wonderful opportunity. But quite frankly, if you're a young boy growing up in Los Angeles and you're hyperactive and you're overweight and you play the harp, you got social problems at school. And I, again, felt pretty bad about myself. But something happened to me when I was only 13, which radically changed my life. I tasted alcohol for the very first time. You know, I became an alcoholic at the very early age of 13. The first time I got high on alcohol, it took control of my life. And for 15 long years, even though I pursued a career as a musician, a successful musician, my life was absolutely devastated by alcoholism and drug abuse. I ended up in jails and mental hospitals, violence, immorality. I even got involved in the occult and became so very confused. But just after my 28th birthday, the prayers of my godly grandmother were answered, and I was invited to a meeting down in Los Angeles by a friend of mine who'd become a Christian, not even a year before then. And they were using music there that night as a way to describe how much God loves us through Jesus Christ, his Son. That night, after the music was played, I prayed to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I asked him to forgive me for my terrible sins that I had done and to give me a new life. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." That means the rank most devastated sinner can come before a loving God and cry out to Jesus, and Jesus will save them and make them whole. And before a year had transpired after that first initial time of prayer and commitment, Jesus had delivered me from alcohol and drug abuse, from mental disease, from violence and immorality. He totally turned my life around, brought me into a loving church where they helped me. Soon after that, I got called to the harp ministry, which I've been doing ever since. Got married to a beautiful gal who'd been mightily saved by Jesus Christ. Have a beautiful son, 6 years old, named Matthew. Have a 4-year-old son named Eric. And have a beautiful little 10-month-old baby girl named Bree. And I don't deserve it, but God doesn't give us what we deserve when we receive Jesus. He gives us out of his amazing grace. And I'm telling you, if you know anything about the grace of God, you can only say it is amazing. And with that in mind, I'd like to play my absolute best favorite piece of music that means so much to those that love the Lord. Here's a song called Amazing Grace. Thank you.
Greg Buchanan. Thank you. Thank you, brother. So we've got some news for you. May is National Radio Month around the country, and we at Sunday Night would like to hear from everyone who listens to the program. Be a good time to drop us a note. Tell us what station you hear Sunday Night on, and we will send you a little Sunday Night thank you gift. Yeah. Write us at Sunday Night 3003 North Snelling Avenue, St. Paul, Minnesota 55113. Get it postmarked by the 31st of May, and your gift will be in the mail. Even if you've written to us before, send us a note this month to get your gift. Sunday Night 3003 North Snelling Avenue, St. Paul 55113. All right, you do that? Say, last week I went to a dad's breakfast at the school where Hans and Erica go. Hans is my dynamic 8-year-old son, and Erica is my way too grown-up, soon-to-be 11-year-old daughter. We had a wonderful time. We did, you know, you have to take advantage of those times. You can spend your whole life dreaming about what a great father you're going to be as soon as your schedule eases up, and then bingo, they're grown and driving out the driveway before you know it. But anyway, here we were at this breakfast. The food was terrific, and they had an amazing guy for a speaker. This man had a thing about bicycles. In fact, he liked riding bikes so much he made a career out of it. Over the last 5 years, he has successfully ridden from the Arctic to the Antarctic in one trip. That's from the top to the bottom of the globe, folks. And gone around the world by way of the U.S., Europe, and the former Soviet Union, and then flew over the water. You know, it's an amazing story. Amazing perseverance. What intrigued me most, however, was his statement at the end of the presentation that morning. He said that as he was standing on the steps of the Minnesota State Capitol at the end of his round-the-world journey, receiving awards and recognition, something was missing, he said. This is what he had dreamed of, what had kept him going during the long, hard months of heat and cold and rain and mud and man-eating horse flies. Oh, this was his goal, to go around the world on a bike. And here he was. He had reached it, and he felt somehow empty. Without purpose, he said. His conclusion? He said he decided he needed to keep dreaming. Because the real joy was in the journey, not the destination. Well, listeners, I got a flash for you. There is a destination worth going to that won't disappoint you. If you're going to dream, dare to dream all the way. If you dream of setting records, making headlines, touring talk shows, doing the impossible through wind and rain and fire, dream higher. If you dream of scaling cliffs, sweeping vistas, conquering mountains, reaching ever upward, I guarantee you, you will tire. Dream higher. If you dream of fame and fortune, world renown, unending glory, straining ever onward toward the goal, I feel I ought to warn you, you will never reach the wire. Dream higher. For this is not the end, my friend. This ain't all there'll be. Live your life for here, my dear, or for eternity. Because someday, when the breathing stops, your brain goes bleep, your body drops, God decides who wins or flops, not Guinness, Jennings, Brokaw, rather, or other celebrity. Run the race to gain his crown. Climb to bring him glory. All the riches you will need are written in his story. And when this withered grass of life has dried and blown away, you get to live the dream of dreams forever and a day. Life with him, full with him, and a really swinging choir. Oh, friend, when you set out to dream, do it right.
Dream Higher.
Listen for more Sunday night radio shows during upcoming weekends each Sunday afternoon here on Faith Radio.